This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. We are in the triple digits. So last time I checked my phone, it was 100 degrees here in Springfield, Missouri. But you know, I kind of like the heat. Reminds me of home in the Philippines. So it doesn't bother me too much. I actually did air out the car a little bit before I got started driving home, and the air conditioning is on, as you can hear. I do apologize for the sound last week. Oy! I went to the cemetery, rolled down all my windows because it was such a beautiful day, not thinking that there was a light breeze that was coming in and wafting through the car. Well, the microphones on this little recorder are very sensitive, so any air that's impacting that microphone, it's not good. At least I'm assuming that's what happened. So we're going to try it today, and if the sound is as bad this week as it was last week, it really, really might be time to get a new recorder. Surprisingly enough, though, this little D50 PCM D as in dog 50 recorder, it's a little expensive these days. So I don't know if I'm going to replace it with just another one of those, which it's been a great little recorder. You know, but I think it is kind of a higher end recorder, and I have been very pleased with the sound and the level of sound quality with it. But then the question is, do you really need that much, or could you just do it with your phone? At times when I've left my recorder at home and just used my phone, I haven't been nearly as happy with the sound and with the spatial feeling of the sound or anything like that. So I don't think I'm probably just going to go back to my phone when I have to make the change, but I'll have to see if I want to spend several hundreds of dollars to replace this thing. And looks like some of them are a little scarce, and I was looking on Amazon and I was like, whoa, because I think I'd seen it listed for as high as in the hundreds, you know, 1300, 1200, 1500, not maybe that quite high, but it's like, wow, what? Wow. Now maybe that's a different version than I have, but it looked identical to this one and it had the same model number on it. So I don't know, but it'll all work out. We'll figure it out. Anyways, it's been a lovely week. We were able to get some good things accomplished at work. It's only been 3 days, obviously, this week with the 4th. And that was nice over the weekend, having the extra day, because I needed the extra day. But we got some good things accomplished that needed to be accomplished this week. And we got closed, yay, for missions this week, which we needed to do for June. Everything seemed to go fine with all the expense processing. I did just some sanity checks on the data, and the data all looked fine, and did some reporting checks looking at the stuff that was coming out of the backside of the end of month process. That all looked fine. So I've got some deploys to do early next week to kind of add some functionality that is useful, hopefully. And we'll get those all taken care of, and then we'll just keep moving forward. So all is well so far. There may be a train coming towards me, but I don't hear the whistle yet, so so I think we're okay. We are celebrating Paper Bag Day tomorrow, so this should be fun. This is one of the few costumes, I was going to say not one of the only, but one of the few costumes that I actually need my wife's van in order to transport it around. This is one. Backwards Day is one for Hello Frank and Kitty. So yeah, there's just, you know, a few, but this is one of them I'm going to have my wife's van for. And I was concerned because when I was watching the weather earlier this week, Saturday, it was going to be pouring rain. And you really can't do paper bag day in the pouring rain. It doesn't work out very well. But it'll be fun. People love this costume. It's just so ridiculous. There's so many paper bags and tissue paper. So it's just ridiculous. So it'll be fun. Had a lovely week. Got together with some friends this last week and chatted and really just had a lovely, lovely time. So that's all good. Working on costumes. I had a few little distractions with getting ready for paper bag day and this, that, and the other. But I'm back on the sleeve, the last sleeve that goes over the top of all the mechanical stuff and electronics for the mechanical wings that I'm building. So I'm working my way through that sleeve now. Once I get that done, the mechanical wings will pretty much be squared away. I just have a back plate that I have to do. So that's all going fine. I am now officially in the second writing sprint for book 17. And I have to say, it was a slog to get here. So partially because of the costumes, partially because I had extra things to do for the finishing up of book 16, I got started a little late with my reread through for book 17. So I try to leave an extra week, like the last week of June, to reread what I have written for the first half of whatever book I was writing when the current book was out at the beta readers. So the current book comes back from the beta readers, get everything edited up, get the cover tweaked, upload all the files, ready to go, ready to go, ready to go. I like to have a week left to where I can reread what I've already written, refamiliarize myself with that book, and then turn around and start my writing sprint on whatever that Sunday is. Well, it was a slog this time. Goodness, it's not that the book isn't fine, the book was fine, but we're far enough into it now where there's getting everybody back up to speed. If anyone jumps in on this book, you know, getting everybody back up to speed, there's a lot of pieces that have to be put in place. And hopefully there's interesting stuff that is happening around it that makes it worth all of getting everybody back up to speed. But I had to get through all that, and I was doing a Grammarly check on it, and the Grammarly stuff, when I'm in action scenes or when I'm in dialogue scenes, is usually fine because you're dealing with much shorter sentences and simpler thoughts. But then when you're in the narrative sections, I tend to expand out those sentences a little bit, try to be a little more poetic in my language. There's not a whole lot of art in what I'm doing here because I'm just blowing through these books as fast as I can get through them. And they could be a lot better, but you know. So to get through all those narrative sections with Grammarly and that kind of thing, I mean, I started doing the read-through, and I got like 20 pages done, and I had spent like 2 hours. I'm like, whoa, because I knew I had like 240 pages that I had to get through, and I'm like, this is going to take forever. And it did. So I really started into my read-through in earnest, I think Friday morning, I think. And I read Friday pretty much all day. I read Saturday pretty much all day. I read Sunday, aside from going to church, pretty much all day. I read Monday pretty much all day. And I still had to finish up on Tuesday, so I probably, I probably put in, well, you figure if there's 240 pages and 20 pages about 2 hours, so 10 pages in an hour, if there's 200, that's about 24 hours. I probably put in that much reading through it, but I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's, the book is where it needs to be at the halfway point. And I've got all the pieces in place. I've got all the balls in the air. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And I think I know where I'm going. I don't have all the details, but I think I know where I'm going and the basics of what's happening and what I need to establish in this book as the first book of the Nightmare Opus. So it is in play at this point, and I don't think it's going to be too much trouble to go ahead and get it finished up. It's interesting because every time I'm at the beginning of a push for the series of books, you know, there's a little more back pressure and I just have to push in through it. So when I started the series, book one was an idea that I had already formulated, and I think I even had like a screenplay I was adapting or something, but the ideas were all there. That's right, because originally I wrote an adaptation for a comic book that some of my buddies were going to do, but it was just so thick they were like, yeah, this is way too thick from a plot and character perspective for a comic book, and so they weren't going to do anything with it. And so I told them, if you're not going to do anything with it, I'd like to go ahead and explore that series. So writing book one was pretty straightforward because I had that outline already. Dropped into book two, and book two got a little long in the tooth because I was floundering a little bit keeping myself going, because I was thinking, I have to do 24 of these books. Once I got past book two, books three, four, five, six, seven, it was fine. You know, there was stuff that I had to figure out, but you get it figured out, you just keep going. Of course, seven, then it becomes the cliffhanger. So that drives you right into eight. And then I knew what the big drama was supposed to be in book eight. Okay, great. Then I turned around and started book nine, which was the second set of eight. And there was this very definite, you know, push. I had to drag myself through it to get going in book nine, because I'm thinking, man, I got another eight books to write here. But I had some big set pieces that I knew I was going to hit, and so that was fine. Once I got past book nine, then, you know, 10 led right into 12, which was a big set piece, and then 12 led into 13 and 14, and then, you know, it was into 15, another cliffhanger, big two-parter, 16, I knew where I was going to land there and what we needed to get resolved, and so that's great. Well, now, then when I loop back to 17, you know, kind of experienced the same thing that I experienced at 9. Now I'm climbing another hill. But it hasn't been that bad. It's just there's a lot of background that had to be filled in. And now that I kind of know where I'm going with 17, book 17, you know, then it's fine. It's fine. And I have a lot of the final set pieces now that are coming up. So I've been holding stuff. I've been holding revelations about characters that I haven't fully explored yet. I have themes that I had started that I hadn't resolved yet, specifically to leave them for this final book of set of eight to have things to work with. So I have plenty of grist for the mill for these eight books. And it'll just be interesting to see how this all goes. Say all that to say, I'm actually a little behind. I technically should be in a full-blown writing sprint this week, and I should have 10,000 words that I'm putting down. I don't think there's any way I'm going to get 10,000 words, because last night was the first night I was actually able to even start writing anything new. because in all the read-through stuff that I had done, normally when I read through, the book gets thicker, but in this case, I'm reading through and I was paring down. So I actually started the read-through at, I think it was 82,000 words, which was about right, because the first writing sprint is 8 weeks, 10,000 a week, 80,000 words. I was a little ahead, 82,000 words. I ended the read-through at 82,000 words. I had added stuff, but I had subtracted enough stuff that, like, I was kind of hoping I was going to end at like 85, so I'd have a fighting chance to get to 90,000 by Saturday night, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll get there, step at a time, step at a time. Anyway, so that's that. So work went well, we got closed, everything seems to be fine there. Yay, costumes are coming along, lots of fun. I did add another outfit. I think I had mentioned about Rat Catcher's Day. I don't know if I had mentioned about Moth Week. I was looking at what was coming and I saw that Mustard Day was coming, but Mustard Day was supposed to be the first week in August. I may have mentioned this already. It was supposed to be the first, Mustard Day is the first week in August. Well, that's really close to International Cat Day as well. And because of the way the days fell this time, International Cat Day actually eclipses National Mustard Day. So then I was having to back National Mustard Day up a week, and I looked at it and got one of those fabled, down in my spirit, and I was like, okay, you can do that if you want to, but there's a better option. So I decided, well, okay, let's go find out what the better option is. And so I started digging around, and I came across National Moth Week. And I thought, well, that sounds like something we could celebrate, but it's gonna have to be one of those things where I just buy stuff and throw it together because I don't have time to make anything. But I got looking around, and in fact, there's a kind of, it's not a wrap, and it's not a robe, it's just a big piece of cloth that you kind of tie around your neck. It's sort of like a cape, but it's made in the shape of moth wings. And it looked pretty cool on the pictures, and I was like, well, okay, fine. So I bought some black velvet leggings and a black velvet leotard and a moth t-shirt, and then I'll have my little cape, and we'll just do that. It'll just be one of those weeks that isn't as big and flamboyant, but, fun. And I can do stuff with moths, because I've started to work on the bit about how that moths get a bad rap. People don't like moths, and they're just trying to do their jobs, and they fly like butterflies and all that kind of stuff, but for some reason we think they're creepy, and, they're not the Instagram models of the insect world like butterflies are. So, I think there's something I can work with there. And I think my moth cape came in today, so when I get home, we'll take a look at that. So this week, while I was at work, I had pulled up one of my browsers, Firefox, and Firefox runs out and shows you popular stories from Pocket. Pocket is a way to save articles that you want to review later, and they also have suggestions for articles. And so getpocket.com always has a lot of suggestions, and Firefox has some kind of an alliance with Pocket to where they will show you proposed stories when you open Firefox. And so I had opened Firefox and I read the title. I think this was where, maybe it was Google News, I don't know. As soon as I read this title, I thought, and then it begins. Because I've been actually kind of waiting for this moment, because I figured somebody is going to do this. And I've been talking about it for long enough that I was really like thinking, you guys are not paying attention. You are not, Because if you were paying attention, you would know that you need to do this. And in fact, finally today, I came across this article, and I'm like, and there it is. So the name of the article, I'm getting my mail, obviously, one moment. Check that in here. Okay, good. I think yes, it is for Rat Catcher's Day. He's good. I bought from China a little stuffed doll for Ratatouille. It's a little Ratatouille. He's cute. He's a little purple and pink. He's darling. So that's going to be my rat that I'm going to take with me on Rat Catcher's Day. It's going to be good. It's very, very cute. Good job. Anyway, so that's fine. I wanted to see that. I thought that's what it was because it looked like a package from China. So, anyways, the name of this article that piqued my interest instantly. Oh, just a second. I had something fall down when I pulled out of the garage today, and I need to run inside and fold it back up before I pull the car in. One moment, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Now I can get my car in the garage. So, the name of this article was "A Wave of AI Experts Left Google, DeepMind, and Meta, and the Race is On to Build a new, More Useful Generation of Digital Assistants." And when they talk about the digital assistants there, what they're talking about is business digital assistants. I've been waiting for this. Because I've looked at this whole thing and said, oh, okay, somebody, probably QuickBooks, I was expecting it to be QuickBooks, is going to build business digital assistants that are going to help people who don't understand accounting, who, you know, barely can get their taxes done. We already have the inklings of this and things like TurboTax where it's interacting with you. And QuickBooks already has some things like this. Like you can have a little app on your phone and you can take pictures of receipts and it'll ask you questions. It'll do all that kind of stuff. But really kind of a core assistant that would be like an accounting specialist that would help you get things done. As far as I knew, we didn't have anything like that yet. And it just seemed like, man, that's a market. I don't want to do this, but man, this is a market. And for me, there's the need because I look and say, okay, there's all these small business people who really don't understand accounting that well. They're trying to run their business. They have to have and hire an accountant. But wouldn't it be great if they had something that would just help them, you know, with all the things that small business owners need help with. Well, there's a corollary to that because you've got missionaries who are on the field, same type of thing. Maybe they're not the greatest accountants in the world. They've got a heart for it. They're trying to do the work of God. But they really need some extra help. And if QuickBooks or somebody like that could put together some kind of digital business assistant that would understand accounting and how things needed to be categorized and could learn, man, that would be such a help to the missionaries. And so I've been kind of waiting. And in fact, when I first started talking to the missions group that I work with, I told them, I said, that I feel like my job is to build a bridge between where you are right now and the new artificial intelligence assistants that are coming, you know, that we are going to get to this artificial intelligence in the next 5 to 10 years. And my job is to try to build a bridge so that as we're going into that, we're ready for it. whether that be from a data structure standpoint or it be from a process and procedure standpoint, that people are used to interfacing with systems in the way they might interface with this digital assistant. So this article to me felt like, for the first time, the first step. So the company is called Adept AI. And the article starts off by saying, Alexa, what is the future of digital assistants? The author said, I don't know how Alexa would answer that question, but looking at the number of top AI minds who have recently left big tech companies to create well-funded startups dedicated to building a new breed of digital assistants aimed at being useful for business, seems like a golden era of digital work companions is likely to be around the corner. This is really important. Among this new crop of digital startups is Adept AI Labs. The company, which emerged from stealth mode earlier this year with $65 million in initial venture capital funding, stands out for its founding team. They include a group of researchers from Google Brain, who in 2017 invented the AI architecture known as the Transformer. This algorithmic design has underpinned a huge number of AI advances, especially in natural language processing over the last 5 years. Now the team that created the Transformer thinks the same basic idea can be used to create more capable general assistants that we will be able to work alongside people to help perform a wide range of business tasks. Yes, 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 yes. Quote, the problem we've carved out is how to get machines to collaborate with humans and actually build things for them. So we want to figure out how to get machines to perform actions for people, not just have conversations with them. The software that Adept is building will learn through human feedback, not by ingesting a lot of pre-existing data from text, which is how most large language AI systems are trained today. So Adept's co-founder and CEO says that language understanding is the key capability that Adept software will have to possess, since language is a major way humans provide feedback. But the system won't just start with language. Quote, you can think of it as a universal teammate. If you had another person on your team, what would you shamelessly ask them to do? That's what we want this software to do. So their first step has been creating software that can follow natural language instructions to perform tasks. In a demonstration of this, Adept has posted online, its software uses a basic SQL database to provide a wide variety of tasks. A user types, can you grab me the name and population for every country? And the software goes ahead and pulls that data from the database and assembles a simple table. Then the user asks the software to, quote, make a bar plot of that. The software does so. But the plot is hard to read because it contains too many countries. So the users ask it to, quote, to show countries with the 6 highest populations. Software comes right back with a much easier to read chart. This time, though, the labels for the 6 countries aren't overlapping. Which is still isn't great. So the user types, good, but the X-axis is still a bit hard to read. Can you fix that? And remarkably, the software does so by writing the labels on an angle, even though the feedback from the user has not specified that. Later in the demo, the software grabs publicly available U.S. unemployment figures from the internet and charts those. This is what this company calls teaching the software to climb the ladder of abstraction. Eventually, they want the software to be able to take an instruction as abstract and complex as tell me how my customers are churning, and have the software analyze the data and produce a report, all without having to receive additional instructions. So then the question comes up, why didn't they just stay at Google and build this general assistant? Well, another member of the Google team who left says that at Google, AI research is set up to enhance existing projects, products, not create entirely new product categories. This is what excites us about ADEPT. She says, here we can have both research and product together. She says ADEPT plans to have a minimally viable product out with customers within months. We are a small team that is very aligned to the mission, and we can move fast. In addition, there are also startups such as Cohere AI, which was also founded by veterans of Google Brain, including researchers who worked alongside the people at ADEPT. And there's Inflection, which was co-founded by DeepMind co-founder and a LinkedIn co-founder. All of these companies are looking to create AI to assist humans in a wide variety of tasks. It will be interesting to watch and see how capable these new digital assistants will really be, which will gain traction, and for what uses, and how often the major tech companies will respond to what could turn out to be a formidable threat to parts of their business. And that's very true. That is very, very true. Because all of this, maybe there weren't a lot of people who jumped into this in the beginning, but man, oh man, oh man, oh man, there's going to be a lot of money made by these tools. I mean, a lot of money and a lot of information that will be available through tools like this. But we are begun. And we've been begun for a while, apparently. They've been in sort of stealth startup mode. So it just makes so much sense to me now, because I'm like, where are these guys? This is an obvious thing. What is going on? But yeah, they're out there. They're working on it. It's going to be great. So this is very exciting. When I saw that come across my desk today or this week, I was just like, there it is. There it is. There it is. So one of the things I just kind of have as a hope in the back of my mind is, if it's true that they're able to get things started in just a matter of months, in 3 years, there could be some really, truly amazing stuff out there. I mean, when DALL-E came out and first showing what it was doing, within just months, DALL-E 2 was out, and it just keeps getting better. And then Google is out here with Imagen, and it's like, we can do that too, you know, and there's all these other people that are popping up. Once the idea is in the marketplace and there's interest in it and there's the potential to make money at it, that is capitalism at its best, because they just starts to be this windstorm of stuff happening, and just everything starts getting sucked into that vacuum of, we need better digital assistance to get us data, to record the data we're creating, to organize the data for us. That's the speed at which these systems will be able to do all that stuff will be astonishing. So it's going to be really interesting to see what comes of this. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.